Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, where world-class doctors are pioneering immunotherapy that's helping to stop cancer in its tracks. And with screenings and advanced treatments across the state, it's cancer care made for Marylanders. Learn more at umms.org/cancer.
Welcome back to Midday. I'm Erica Kane. Coming up tomorrow, Tom Hall is back for Health Watch with Dr. Lena Wen. They discuss the latest health trends, including the ever-expanding access to GLP-1 weight loss drugs. That's on tomorrow's show. If you've just joined us, we're talking about Black history today. In the current political moment, debates over history, what's taught, what's preserved, and what's left out are happening not just in classrooms, but in legislatures, school boards, and cultural institutions across the country. Here in Baltimore, the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum has spent decades preserving and presenting Black history in a way that's immersive, unapologetic, and deeply human. They're in the midst of a long-term expansion and recently announced a new program targeting young people. It's called Field Trips to Freedom. I went down to the museum last Friday to talk to them about Black history in this moment and how the museum approaches younger audiences. I'm here at the Great Blacks and Wax Museum on North Avenue, joined by director Dr. David Fakunle. Welcome to the show, Dr. Fakunle.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
And we're also joined by Jessica Smith, who also goes by Culture Queen. She's a children's performer, an educator, playwright, and artist in Baltimore. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
So, Dr. Fakunle, we're sitting here in the museum. Tell me, what is your favorite part of this museum?
The whole thing is my favorite part. And I say that truthfully because this is an institution that molded me. It's not just growing up around all of these wax figures, being here for the unveiling of different exhibits, but I think the cultural opportunities that this museum has catalyzed for decades, for generations. And so I can't help but to think of the totality of this museum's impact. So I enjoy it all, but if I had to pick something, I would pick the Maryland Room, which is on the second floor, unfortunately currently unavailable, but it'll be open soon enough, because that was the part that I would lead as a tour guide when I was a kid. So I was very intimate with the wax figures and knowing their history, knowing their story, and being able to guide audiences through centuries of history, as it connected to Maryland, and also and a child will lead them. So it was about Black youth and the struggle, through the story of Jocko Graves to children who marched during the civil rights movements in the 50s and 60s, to even the challenges in apartheid South Africa and the public health issues of Baltimore at the time, particularly in the 90s. So I became familiar with a lot of stuff, but especially the second floor of the museum, the Maryland Room and the youth exhibit. Those were my favorites. I changed my mind.
Now, your official role here is Director of Transforming Equity Through Arts, Culture, and Health Department, the TEACH Department. Now, break it down exactly what your role is here.
So I had this idea of coalescing the artistic, creative, and cultural experiences that the museum had organically catalyzed over decades. And it comes from, again, my life story. I became a storyteller in the Black oral tradition because of this museum. I became an African drummer because of this museum. I got involved in theater because of this museum. So for as much as it is a repository for Black history and the truth of the African diaspora, it was also a place where Black creators wanted to be and wanted to express their creativity. And so now just seemed like the time to center the museum as a space where these, again, creative experiences could be flourishing, not just for the Oliver community of East Baltimore, but the city at large, and for it to be grounded in the Black history that this museum has preserved for decades, but also with the explicit understanding that it is beneficial to health and well-being. And that part is very powerful, especially in today's moment.
So as the official director of the TEACH department, what are some goals for the TEACH department in regards to the museum this year?
So it starts with building around two of the primary public engaging events that the museum has done for years. the Kwanzaa celebration, mm-hmm. which has always happened on December 26th for as long as I've been alive. That's been a while. And then also the Voices of History Street Fair, which has been around for a decade. So we have a summer and a winter public facing event, and then continuing to have learning experiences around prominent months, Black History Month, obviously, but even Women's History Month, Black Music Month in June. And again, to create opportunities for creatives with whom I've grown up, creatives with whom I've gotten to nurture and cultivate opportunities such as Culture Queen, and to offer them freedom. We're working on the resources. We're working on all that other stuff. And in due time, it will manifest. And even in the 2 years that this has been an idea, we have come very, very far. But the one thing that I can offer creatives who want to be a part of the Teach Division is freedom. You have the freedom to be who you are. You have the freedom to do what you do best, as long as it's grounded in Black history in some form or fashion, as long as it acknowledges the public health benefit. Do what you want, because that's what this place needs. That's what we want to offer, and that's what we're doing.
And Jessica, you're involved in these efforts as well. Tell us, who is Culture Queen?
Well, I'm a Marylander. I'm a transplant from Prince George's County to Baltimore. And I think that's important to note, because I chose to come to Baltimore. I chose to come to Baltimore because of my experiences at places as a young child. David and I are very similar, close in age. And so we both have the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum as a imprint in our childhood, as one of the first Black History Museums that we ever went to. And this is in Maryland, you know, so mm-hmm. It's an honor to give back to a place that shaped my excitement for Black history, which started at a very young age. And as a result, a lot of experiences that I've had have made me want to make sure that other children get excited. And I say children important, children and children at heart, because we want people to be very excited about Black history, whether you're Black or not, because it's American history and world history. And Maryland just so happens to have so much of Black history. There's so many people that have made really great things happen, but this museum specifically is historic because it's the first wax museum for African Americans, and it's still here. And I think longevity, when we're talking about history, longevity and legacy are part of the cornerstones of history. A lot of things that may be great ideas don't last very long. Mm-hmm. But this museum is an example of something that, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, and this is a field trip that I took many times. I was just telling I can still remember my first time coming to this museum. I remember my first time bringing students to this museum, and I remember the conversations that my parents had with me about what I was about to see, what I saw, and then what am I going to do with what I saw.
Absolutely.
So 16 years later, well, I've had my company Culture Kingdom Kids for 16 years, and that company has been a support to different museums and libraries and schools and festivals, helping to make their children's programs that teach about history and culture as fun and exciting, as engaging as possible. No one likes a boring program, especially not me.
Yeah.
And so my job and my mission in life is that for children and their parents specifically, because a lot of times when you're teaching children, you're teaching parents as well and educators. You see history, you want to get excited about it. And at the end of the day, if you go to a history program or a cultural program and you don't know, you're not inspired, or you don't know where your place is and afterwards, then I don't think a good job has been done. And with the new program that we have, Field Trips to Freedom, which is, you know, some people might think it's just for schools, but it's actually on the weekend on purpose, because we want children and their families to come together and have that experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you talk about the importance of reaching children. I was going to ask, as a PG kid, did you get to come up to the National Great Blacks and Wax as a kid? Even me as a kid, we would take field trips from New Jersey mm-hmm. to come visit the Great Blacks. Mm-hmm. and Wax Museum. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the importance, and we think about the current administration and how there are certain parts of Black history or even American history that are acceptable and some that are trying to be erased. One thing that I do remember about my field trips coming here as a kid, besides being mesmerized by the life-size waxed mm-hmm, figures of mm-hmm. these historical figures and the uncanny likeness, but there were also some graphic exhibits of the museum that gave us the real parts mm-hmm. of history that we may not have gotten in the textbooks. And it seems like those are the part of history that are trying to be erased. And it's one reason why this museum is so important.
So all the different programs that I've directed to teach history, we always come up to that topic about how do you teach the difficult things. And of course, like you said, there are efforts to erase it. I'm going to say something that might seem, people might not agree with me, but I'm going to say this. You can try to erase history, but you can't erase it. And here's why. Because the impact of the history, you can try to erase it from a book or something, but we still feel it. Mm-hmm. The behaviors, the lack of, the all the things. You might be able to burn a book, but you cannot burn the impact. You can try. And the thing is, I think that, you remember the speakeasies of the, I don't know, whenever the time to speak.
Not that I was there, but yes.
It was before our time.
Yes.
But what I'll say is, when you try to take away something, what actually happens is that people actually lean more into it. It's just like if you tell the child, you can't have that candy. Now they're going to try to get that candy. Mm-hmm. Trying to take away the history has made it posh and hot. People are in search of the books that we're not, the banned books that we're not supposed to read. There are some strong concerns, but programs like Field Trips to Freedom are in resistance to that, one. And two, this is what the museum has been doing for over 40 years. It has not stopped, and it has been consistent, even when it was not popular to come to some of the programs that the museum has been doing. As David said, they've been having the Kwanzaa program and the Voices of History program, all the other programs for a very, very long time. And so really what we're going to do is continue what's already been done, not getting scared just because one thing is up. We've always had, in our history, what's consistent is there's always been someone trying to take away our Black people's ability to do stuff. There's nothing new about that. And I am not concerned about us being able to continue to have it. I encourage everyone to make sure that you bring your children, that you bring your families to this program, because not only is it going to be fun and engaging, but it's going to give you a refreshed sense of what's possible when you know your history and culture, how affirming it is. So I know people panic during this time, but if we knew our history, and that's why it's important for us to know it, we will know that it's in our DNA to overcome, to be creative, to figure out creative ways to represent things that need to be presented. And that to me is the exciting part of what we get to do.
When I see all the exhibits here and I see the figures, I can imagine that children can come and it's just like so visual, so immersive, so exciting to see. What is the age group of children that are able to participate with the Field Trips to Freedom?
We're starting at age 6, and then we're going to age 11. Now, back to your question about the graphic part. As an educator and someone who is an expert in Black history and who specializes in teaching Black history for children, what I can say is we will be responsible in how we make sure that we tell children the truth but make it age appropriate. That's what we do here. But actually, the reason why it's important for us to have a program at a museum like this is if they were in school and the books weren't banned, the history might be in black and white pictures. And that's hard for children to connect to sometimes, especially because we live in this, what's it? 40, what is it? Living like our TV screens and our laptops,
yeah,
and all of
we're
that.
On our phones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called, but it's in, you know, living color, if you will. And so like the museum helps with that. And I think that the Martins were very futuristic in seeing that we were going to need something that was 3D, if you will. So they'll get to see the people not alive, but in color, you know, in color and definitely in a way that'll help them to say, oh, this person might look like me, or I wonder what this is, the outfits that the person wore at the time, or in a superhero way, this is the tool that they used, or like in the Matthew Henson exhibit, this is the environment that he was in where he made his history.
I'm here at the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum with Dr. David Fakunle and Jessica Smith, the Culture Queen. I know that the museum is in the midst of some historic expansions, which we'll talk about. But for the exhibits and the stories that you have currently here, and when you talk to the young people after they visit, which exhibits seem to resonate with them most?
I'll start with what I'm excited to teach about.
Yes.
So I'm a little biased as a Marylander. We're going to have to make sure we get some Maryland history in there. So we're going to have to teach about Mother Mary Lang. We're going to have to teach about Matthew Henson. We're going to have to teach about Billie Holiday, UB Blake. There's so many other people we're going to have to teach mm-hmm. about that are Marylanders, because the beautiful thing about this, and we have to teach about the founders of the museum, because one, we have one living founder, Dr. Joanne Martin, and then also the people who are in the museum, the impact that they made are things they can see. Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, they can see this Maryland impact that they've had. I think that what will be different about how we teach about it is that we're going to use drama and creative movement to bring those stories to life. And so you might see the history, the historical figure, but we're going to use drama, music, movement, storytelling, and crafts to bring that story to life. And so the students will actually become those figures in the time that we have at Field Trips to Freedom. And that is an experience that I think that they're going to like, that not only did they see or meet someone they might not have known about before, mm-hmm. but that they actually got to walk into their footsteps.
Yeah, sure.
Their footsteps to freedom. What about you?
So I think with kids and with a lot of the visitors overall, the wax figure of Barack Obama is very popular.
Okay.
And I think much of his popularity is because for a lot of people, it's something they actually experienced. Even for children, it's a very recent touch point mm-hmm. as to a major milestone in Black history and U.S. history and world history. And so, yes, the Drs. Martin were very astute and knowing that the depths of this history had to have a likewise depth in its presentation. So this had to go beyond books, which, yes, could be banned, could be limited in what they actually shared. This is not limited. It's giving you as much of a totality of the history as possible. And as the museum expands, it will give even more nuance to that history. And so, you know, being able to introduce children to elements of their self is so good for them. I speak not just from my personal experience being a former child who grew up in this space and can certainly speak in retrospect to how transformative it was for me. But as, again, a public health researcher, knowing that understanding yourself, that's self-esteem, that's self-efficacy, knowing that you have your cultural context. These are all things that can translate into mental, psychological, social, emotional, even educational, financial, and economic health in a good way. And that's what this museum has always been. And I think the big difference now is we're going to call that out explicitly. Yes, you will come to this institution to learn about history. Yes, you will be introduced to stories that you may find difficult, but you can actually handle it. That's why the Drs. Martin created the exhibits, because you can handle it. And oh, by the way, your absorption of all of this knowledge and understanding and context is going to do so much for your health and well-being, even if you don't feel it in the moment. And sometimes there is something about just the way you carry yourself. There is something about the way that you exude confidence, exude understanding that I can tell you as a researcher cannot be quantified, could never be quantified, but it mm-hmm. certainly can be qualified. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want children to feel, because there is something powerful about a child that knows themselves. And yes, you can know yourself as a child, then you'll relearn it as a teenager, then you'll relearn it as a young adult, you'll relearn it as an old head, and on and on and on to elderhood. That's a health process as well. And so having that certainty pays off in more ways than people, I think, truly understand. And we want to change that, because even the knowledge is good for you.
Okay. Well, the newly announced Field Trips to Freedom happening now mm-hmm. at the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum. And I hope that educators and students and schools and parents and families take advantage. Dr. David Fakunle, the Director of Transforming Equity Through Arts, Culture, and Health, the Teach Department here at the Great Blacks and Wax Museum, thank you for joining. And Jessica Smith, Culture Queen, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. Thank you. Well, being here with us.
It was a pleasure.
Showing up.
I traveled to the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum in Baltimore last Friday. Their new Field Trips for Freedom program is the last Sunday of every month, and thanks to an ARPA arts grant, entry is free for children ages 6 to 11 and their families. You can find out more about the museum and the Field Trips to Freedom program at the midday page at WIPR.org.
When we return from a quick break, the Baltimore-raised, award-winning Hollywood hairstylist who just received an Oscar nod. This is Midday. I'm Erica Kane. Stay with us.